Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to Tuesday's Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host, Gary Cocker. It will be Tuesday.
It's Rob. Monday.
Listen. Speak to Craig Fowler about this, okay?
By the time it gets round, it will probably be Thursday anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, we will be covering the weekend action anyway. You've already guessed who I'm here with. I'm here with Graeme Thulis.
Hello.
And Robert Borthwick.
Hello, how you doing? Sorry, because I'm on webcam, I just noticed there's one curl that just keeps standing up by itself, so we're going to have to enjoy that for the duration, I'm afraid.
But with the one that's here as well that's coming down, you've got one going up and one coming down.
This guy?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's fine, he can stay.
He's meant to be there, right, okay.
Yeah, this guy though, on the other hand, fucking hell. Anyway, hi.
Go and get a bread knife and sort it.
Those of you watching on YouTube will know that Rob's had a couple of pints, and that's totally fine, because it's the end of the season. And, you know, you're not going to be getting talk of systems, formations, tactics. We're all about the vibes because, let's face it, lads, there's not a lot left to decide. But we will pick one game as our focus for this podcast. And it's one of the ones where there actually might be something to decide. And it was Rangers 4, Kilmarnock 1. I would try and do a quick recap of this game, but let's be honest, enough happened in the first 20 minutes to knock every other game into a cocked hat. Kilmarnock did go ahead very early on before Rangers, believe it or not, got a penalty, which was missed, shock horror. And then, because of the man that they had sent off, everything just sort of fell apart in a very gradual, slow sense. Where do we want to start with this? Because, as I say, there's about 27 instances in the opening 27 minutes that probably need a little bit of unpicking. And we had a lot of our friend VAR involved as well.
I can kick off with the fact that the Kilmarnock's loss is actually entirely my brother-in-law's fault. So my brother-in-law's name's actually Joe Wright, and he literally turned on the television seconds later. Joe Wright was sent off. So it's actually entirely his fault. So Kelly fans, I would take it up with him because it's entirely down to him.
And that's entirely fair enough.
Yep, I think it's entirely fair.
I don't know anyone called Joe Wright, so I can't offer the same sort of insight as Graeme could there. I think we need to start with the own goal. So I missed the first goal because it was that early on in the game. I was listening to it in the car on the radio, and the complete perplexion from the commentators, where it was sort of like, oh, and it's a cross in from Kennedy, and it's in. Oh, it's in. Cool. It's in. The ball's in the back of the net. And then they sort of dissected it, and James Tavernier had punched it into his own net. And a quite remarkable sort of opening exchange. I think James Tavernier, for a solid 45 and a half minutes of this game, was doing his best to give the title to Celtic. Punching one into the net, missing his penalty. But yeah, it was exactly what Kilmarnock needed at the start of that game. And they did start the game really well as well. Like, Kelly are a fucking good team. And I think we need to... Like, I think a lot of fans of other clubs, insert Hearts, Celtic, Rangers, are a bit upset that Derek McInnes was up for Manager of the Year. I think it's fully deserved where he's taken them from where they were last season to where they are now with the squad of players that he has is nothing short of remarkable. And I think they're an absolute dead set to finish fourth. I don't think St Mirren are going to catch them. So, yeah, listen, I think that was the exact start they wanted, but the old trope about scoring too early maybe is a thing. Rangers huffed and puffed an awful lot, but they were on top from about the 25th, 30th minute or so. And it was just a matter of time, that matter of time being 45 plus 8 minutes that Fabio Silva scored in.
Just picking up what you said about James Tavernier as well, I was actually really, really hoping after yesterday's game that he was given Player of the Year, because I think that the fury that would have created could have, I don't know what it would have done, but it would have probably broken some sort of energy record. But as you say, a number of incidents to unpick. First of all, do you think that it was a red card for Joe Wright? Because there's been a little bit of sort of humming and hawing. Obviously, Graham's going to stick up for his brother-in-law, but, you know, it's yet another one for the books of, you know, what exactly do you do when it comes to handball?
See, for myself, it's a harsh red card because he's not meant to handle it. He is very much defending his box. He's seen that the ball's come off Will Dennis. It's appearing at the body. Was it Cyril Dessers? I can't remember. Appearing at the body of the Rangers player, looking to tap it in. And he's just, it's not an unnatural movement because he's reacting. He's reacting to a situation in front of him. You know, the rule might be if a clear handball stops the ball from going in the back of the net, that's a red card. But I think that's yet another iteration of the red card rule, the handball rule, sorry, that maybe should be looked at. Because for me, immediately, I thought it was harsh that was a red card. You talk about double jeopardy and all that kind of stuff with fouls in the box. That wasn't intentional from Joe Wright. So definite penalty, don't get me wrong. You know, Fabio Silva timed his run perfectly. He looked offside in the first instance, but he was on. It was a penalty, but for me, a red card is just, it's just harsh.
I thought it all, because you can see Wright, he's twisting basically his entire body to try and get something on it, because it's come off, is it Sterling's knee? And he's trying to sort of twist it round to try and twist his whole body to try and get a bit of motion with it as well. So, like, I can see why that it looks like he's moved his hand towards the ball, but it's not in isolation, if that makes sense. Like, it's his whole movement rather than I'm just swinging an arm at it, which is, yeah, I'm with you, Rob.
And as you say, Rob, as well, there was obviously a heck of a lot of first half added time as a result of about 3-4 fairly lengthy VAR decisions, and that was when Fabio Silva, the much derided Fabio Silva, pounced in the first of a couple of Rangers players who are not popular scoring against Kilmarnock, which seems rather unfortunate for the Ayrshire side.
It was actually a really good goal from Silva, because he shows like a proper number nine's instinct to get into that area in the first instance, but also use his body and his strength to get ahead of the Kilmarnock defender. What I found hilarious was Fabio Silva's celebration.
You can't do that, mate.
You can't go up to the Union Bears and put your fingers in your ears and then show the name on the back of your top when you've been roundly shite since you joined that football club. Just because you've scored one goal against Kilmarnock does not change that fact.
A man who basically tripped over the 6-yard line while trying to bail down on goal at Hampden is then trying to give it the big eye out. Like, no. No, like, I mean,
no.
Do you know what? See, be fair, right? He scored yesterday. Oh, sorry, scored on Saturday. I've lost all track of days because it's a bank holiday weekend. Scores at the weekend. See, next weekend, if he scores and he does that, then by all means, I think that's a perfectly reasonable moment to be like, yes, I have arrived. Not, I have netted an equaliser against 10 men Kilmarnock at home, having been, as you say, fucking howling.
He's a pathetic little man, is what I would say.
Well, pathetic little man or not, I think that the timing of that totally changed the conversation as well, because up until that point, obviously, Kelly had been down to 10 men for the majority of just about the majority of the first half, had somehow clung on, and I think had they gone in at half time still 1-0 up, then, you know, it's not as if they're then going to go all out attack, let's go and get a second, boys, but it's totally different that compared to just that feeling of crushing inevitability when Rangers managed to scramble one in. And that led to a second half where Rangers ran up what was probably a little bit of an unfair scoreline. Obviously, it helped them keep pace with what Celtic had done the day before, but it did not feel like a three-margin game.
It didn't feel like a three-margin game, but these things so often happen that it's like, to be honest with you, we'll talk about it, Celtic 3-0 didn't feel like a three-goal margin game either. But when you give teams an opportunity, Kilmarnock, in this instance, giving Rangers a man advantage, Hearts coming up with some fairly routine defending that wasn't made, giving Celtic a two-goal advantage, you know, these things are going to happen, and we've seen it for decades now. If you give the Old Firm a sniff, then they will absolutely go and take advantage of it. I think that the game was a pretty much foregone conclusion as soon as Silva's ball went into the back of the net. I think the one thing I would want to talk about is Tom Lawrence's goal, because that for me is one of the goals of the season. I know the votes have already been taken, but the first touch to nip it around, I think it was Robbie Dees, and then take it back on his right foot, send him for a hot dog and stick it in the top corner was a ridiculous goal. A phenomenal goal. And you know, Tom Lawrence is Mr. Physio, Mr. Injury Table, but when he does play, you can see why he's such a revered and good player at Rangers, because that is a phenomenal goal.
I enjoyed the command of the defender just being like, you could see him twisted around in slow motion, like, oh, the ball's over there, right, I'm fucked. Right, absolutely not a chance, gone.
Absolutely knowing how done you've been. And he was absolutely done, 100% done for that goal. As soon as Silva scored in half time, to be honest with you, I think as soon as the red card was given, regardless of the penalty miss, Rangers were going to win that game, and that's what happened.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And of course, they weren't the only Glasgow-based side to win a game at the weekend. Sorry, Rob.
I'll let you carry a link in a minute. Is that game almost a missed opportunity for Rangers in that this is likely going, in the best case, it comes down to goal difference is Rangers' best case now. Surely, I know we talk about scoring goals and running up score a little bit in the second half. That's against 10-man Kilmarnock, who you've got to score 5, 6, 7. Like, that's the opportunity you're not going to get. There aren't going to be easy games in the top six, ultimately, dependent on, like, all the teams in there fundamentally are the best teams in Scotland. It's an opportunity against 10 men at home to actually try and close the one margin you can actually close a little bit.
Graham, I've got two words for you. Cyril Dessers. If they had a better striker than Cyril Dessers, then quite possibly they would have ran up a scoreline. But they don't. They've got a guy that blows so hot and so cold that it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If they had a better striker, then yes, you would be saying, like, why haven't we scored 5, 6, or 7? But they just don't. They just don't have that, which means that guys like Tom Lawrence and John Souter are the ones that are going to score garbage time goals to try and get the goal difference up, because they just don't have a guy who, you know, a Chris Boyd, for example, who is just going to stick the ball relentlessly into the back of the net. And that has been one of Rangers' biggest issues this season. It's a huge reason why they probably won't win the title, is because they've not had a guy that you can hang your hat on and say, right, he's going to score 1, 2, 3 against these teams, because you just don't know that he's going to do. And he's still got a decent goal return, but that doesn't matter, because in the big moments, in the big times when he has been needed, he's not shown up.
It sounds like they should have signed the PFA Player of the Year, Lawrence Shankland, who did play in Glasgow at the weekend. I managed it. But he did nothing because Hearts lost 3-0 to Celtic. Rob, you were obviously at the game, or at least watching the game, and you've already mentioned that it felt like it was a little bit of a harsh scoreline for Hearts, but I think that we should probably pick out the performance of Callum McGregor, who is bucking the trend of Scotland national team players and not picking up an injury or doing something stupid, but actually looking like he's pulling it together.
Yeah, the Say Something Nice segment of the podcast, touch wood, Callum McGregor doesn't get another injury, because he didn't start brilliantly in this game. Celtic didn't. I know they scored after 3 minutes, right? So fucking bear with me. But Celtic were the Celtic selves of this season. For the opening, like, 20, 25 minutes, they were easily got at. They weren't creating a huge number of opportunities. They didn't seem great. And Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly, Rio Hatate were a reason for that, because Hearts were able to drift through the midfield and actually feed guys like Kenneth Vargas when he was peeling out wide, give it to Shanklin back to goal. However, when Celtic got that second goal through Kyogo, just a great ball over the top from Matt O'Reilly, and Kyogo stuck it in. From there on, Callum McGregor, it's like a fire was lit underneath him. He was a proper Callum McGregor captain's performance from there on in. He was chasing down every ball. He was outpacing guys who are faster than him just because he has the wherewithal and the body movement in order to do it. And he was creating things as well. Callum McGregor was, I'm not going to say back to his very, very best at the weekend, but there's clear signs there that Callum McGregor's injury is far behind him now. And he's going to have a huge impact for Celtic. I mean, we'll see what happens on Saturday in the Old Firm game. That's going to be massive, obviously, not just for Celtic, but for McGregor as well, because he needs to prove now that he's a guy that used to play every single minute of every single game for about 7 years solid, has now become a bit injury prone, and he's got this label above his head. And, you know, the questions are there. Is he able to still do it? Does he still have, you know, the fuel in the tank to go to the Euros as well as win Celtic a title? On Saturday's show, and I would say that yes, he does. Because honestly, he was brilliant. Hatate was fine. O'Reilly was good. McGregor was brilliant. A proper captain's performance. And when Celtic Park needs a spark, in terms of the fans, you're looking for a player to go there and win a big tackle or win the ball back or create an opportunity. McGregor did that about six or seven times in that second half. And it's great news, not for me as a PHM, but for Scotland going into this Euros, because we know that we have our injury issues in the midfield as well. We have our injury issues, and we know that Callum McGregor has been such a great soldier for Steve Clarke in the last 2 and 3 years that he's a really important player. So seeing him shut his stuff again at the weekend was really, really positive to see from a Scotland point of view. For me, it was absolute shite.
I really enjoyed from this game as well that, like, it was almost like a reminder on, like, the day of the PFA Awards. Like, Kyogo won it last year, and see, if you just do the things that he's very good at, you benefit enormously from it as well. Like, both of those finishes were just, like, they looked like him from last season. Like, the quick wee header, just, like, being so aware of the space around him and the fact that there was still, he was miles and miles onside in the end. And then the second one as well, just that little, the ball over the top and just a little dink as well, when all he needs to do is just guide it. It was just like, yeah, you're actually class. Here's a reminder, I'm actually class. I won the award for being the best player in the league last season because I'm good at these things. And it's been such a wasted year of his talent for Celtic.
Do you know what for me though, sorry Gary, is such a huge impact on this game and on Kyogo is James Forrest being back, playing well, and doing the bad work that needs to be done to allow Kyogo the space to actually play off the shoulder. That is his best attribute. Kyogo's movement is unlike any other striker's movement I've seen in Scotland for years. And so much of this season, that's been wasted because he has had to drop deep. He's had to come in. He's had to try and link play. No, don't do that. Yes, he can do it if you need him to. But do you know what? He's best at doing that when he's actually peeling off the last man and coming a little bit deeper and playing it out to Maeda or whoever. Kyogo was pure Kyogo for 45 minutes on Saturday. He didn't do much in the second half at all. Hearts were a bit more wise to it. They dropped 5 yards deeper. They didn't allow him. But see, for that first 45 minutes, it was like watching Ange Postecoglou's Kyogo. And I think, honestly, James Forrest, he gave Lembekisa a heck of a time, and Atkinson, both Hearts right-backs, having a bit of a tough time just now. But he allowed Kyogo that time and space in the middle to go and just be Kyogo. And we know that when Kyogo is Kyogo, he's absolutely brilliant. He's a superb centre forward and he's got one touch finishes. He can play off the last man. And that was the huge difference. Kyogo's goal scoring record against Hearts is also ridiculous. So it was not unexpected that he got a brace.
And it's funny that you say Ange Postecoglou's Kyogo, because given that he's speaking about totally ripping up the squad, who knows? Maybe Kyogo thought, oh, really?
Yeah.
Hi, Ange.
I'm still
remember
here.
Me?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm still here. Assisted by James Forrest. No, don't sign him. but it is quite interesting because it almost feels as if, and this is maybe an argument that would be put forth by people who happily have their wallets inspected, but it's almost as if Brendan Rodgers has spent the whole season going, I'm going to try and win this title in the most turgid fashion possible. Oh, actually, yeah, this is at risk of getting away from me. Right, I'll just do the thing that I know will work perfectly fine then. Sound? James, in you come. Kyogo, don't bother with all that stuff that I've told you to do in the past. Just go back to doing your thing.
It's nothing but respect from me. Brendan Rodgers made James Forrest 10 times the player he was when he was here the first time around, and he knows he can rely on him this time around. So, fair play.
And is there anything to say for Heart of Midlothian, Rob, at all? I mean, obviously, Hearts had performed terrifically against Celtic in their previous encounters in the league this season, but is there anything to take away, or is it simply a case of Hearts not necessarily being totally on the beach now, but with third wrapped up, they can, you know, there's perhaps not the same impetus that there is for a side, for example, chasing the title?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that third wasn't mathematically wrapped up when we played Celtic. I think we all kind of knew it's been done for a wee while now, to be honest with you. Hearts have been, by a stretch, the third best team in the country this season. And what I would say is we performed pretty well on Saturday. You know, it happens so often. You can play well in Glasgow and get pumped. And that's exactly what happened to Hearts on Saturday. I think that Stephen Naismith afterwards was spot on. He said that we created more clear-cut opportunities in that game than we did in the game that we won 2-0. He's right. Joe Hart made two or three great saves in the opening exchanges, one especially from Cammy Devlin. Lauren Shankland had a decent chance that was cleared off the line by Carter Vickers. Even in the second half, Yutaro Oda had a chance. Kenneth Vargas had a chance. We played fine. And going off the back of the Kilmarnock game, when we should have beaten Kilmarnock 2-3-0, if we're being honest, we played really well in that game. I've got no concerns. I don't think any Hearts fans do after that result and that performance, because you're still seeing guys performing well. Cammy Devlin has come on to an incredible game in the last few weeks. He's been changed to more of a box-to-box midfielder by Stephen Naismith, and he's getting himself into great areas. And one of these days, one of his shots is going to go in. He scored against Livingston last month. He hit the bar against Kilmarnock, and then that great save from Joe Hart stopped him from getting a goal in that game as well. So there's loads of really positive things to see from that Hearts performance. And it feels weird saying that. I think, given some grace, obviously having beaten Celtic twice already this season, kind of allows us to maybe be a bit retrospective and sort of say, right, I understand. Like, we did pump them twice, so, you know, let's accept this one and move on. But it's the happiest I've ever been after losing to Celtic, which doesn't happen very often. But no, we're doing absolutely fine. Third place, sewn up, tied up, which is amazing. That's European football until at very least Christmas. All things are very positive from a maroon and white point of view just now.
And Lauren Shankland became only the second non-owned firm player since the 1990 win Player of the Year.
I can't imagine who the other one was since you brought it up, Graham. Who might that be?
Him and Mr. Higdon. That's it. Only one got arrested after. It's amazing. And I think it's deserved. I think obviously a lot of Celtic fans are being very sort of like literal about the fact and saying he's not the best player in the league. He's not the best player in the league, but he's been the best player in the league this season. His importance to Hearts and the goals that he's scored, the sheer quantity, but also the quality of the goals. He's only scored 3 penalties this season. You can't label him with that anymore. Do you know what I mean? He scored for Scotland. He scored a big goal for Scotland. He has been the best player in the league this season, and his fellow pros have recognised that. I think that's the main thing. It's not a fan vote. You know, there will be Celtic and Rangers players that have voted for him as well. So I'm delighted for him, because I think it's the least he deserves. He's been phenomenal this season.
And one of his phenomenal goals was obviously in a derby against Hibernian Football Club. Why don't we go there? I'm not even sure what happened to them. Oh, they're in the bottom six and they lost Ross County 2, Hibernian Football Club 1.
Ha, 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 ha
Robert, wonderfully illustrating what my face and my body was saying, and my voice was saying when I saw the goals that Hibernian conceded in this game as well, because fuck me, they were sensational. The last time I was on a podcast, I was offered some criticism for suggesting that Hibernian's defending and defenders were shite. Hibernian's defending and Hibernian's defenders are shite. They are not good enough. They are actually being coached into being worse players by the looks of things as well, given that the best that Rocky Bashiri played all season was when he came back from the African Cup of Nations, when he'd been away from Montgomery for a little while and came back into the team and actually looked all right. Subsequent time spent with Nick Montgomery, the most sacked man in all of Scotland, he looks progressively worse with every passing game. And it's infecting like the rest of the team as well. Like the second goal came from Mariah Welsh making a complete pig's ear of it, like the one of the sole bright spots of Hibernian's season all year. He's doing fucking stupid things. Bashiri's doing that stuff. The fact that Hanlon is back in the team, this is not a criticism of Paul Hanlon. I like Paul Hanlon. He's been a class servant for Hibernian, but the fact that he's been brought back in because literally everyone else is fucked or shite is not a great look in times either. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is absolute shambles.
Did either of you guys watch The Responder, which is a Martin Freeman-led crime drama on the BBC just now?
No, but I'm really interested to find out where this is going.
So Martin Freeman plays a first responder, night shift police officer in Liverpool. His Scouse accent is brilliant, by the way. It's a very good series. But he's a man who should have been sacked about 15 times by now, given his misdemeanors. But he keeps coming back and making everything worse every single time he comes back. And that's Nick Montgomery. He should have been sacked about 15 times, but every time he goes back to do his job, he fucks something up. And that is basically what Hibs are looking at right now. So I wish you guys had seen it, but please do. Hey, listen, I'm
no free ads.
I'm partially contracted by the BBC occasionally, so I might as well plug it. But yeah, I would say give it a watch and you'll understand what I mean.
I absolutely adored as well. And I realise we're kind of skipping the end for spoilers for anybody that finds out their news from the Terrace podcast, but ultimately that's on you, frankly. But when Montgomery went to wander off down the tunnel and then was dragged back to go and speak to the fans, like, what? Like, this is the most, is as awkward a thing in a football stadium as I've seen in quite a while. Because what are you doing?
It was a Hibs employee being dragged back by a Bournemouth employee. It's also important that we make that point.
Honestly, because when you see the footage, he gets closer and sort of like walks like a crab along the section applauding whilst people are giving him dog's abuse.
The camera panning round towards the guys walking, because the boys at the front, fair play to them, might be a bit annoyed. The boys that are walking down the stairs, like the old boys that are like in their 40s and 50s and have travelled for 3 hours to get to Dingwall, are fuming. Absolutely fuming, and they were fucking sensational.
And I mean, there's so much to unpack from a Hibs perspective here, because I feel like whenever you're a side that just misses out, just seconds away from exhilaration or whatever the phrase was, from finishing in the top six, there's a question about how you then respond to that. Do you then go, right, okay, let's just go out and try and be best of the rest, top of the bottom six, and do that, or do you go on your hollabobs very, very early? And that seems to be what they've done, because it's just all fallen apart around them. And obviously the gap is such that there's never really been any suggestion that they would do a 2016, 2015.
You remember, Robert, it was a season Hearts got relegated. When was that?
2013-14, brother.
Thank you. 2013-14, there's never really been a suggestion of that, because there's so much guff underneath them that someone was going to keep them afloat. But yeah, all is not rosy in that particular garden.
Even from that perspective as well, like, is there not a single body within like the Hibs Academy or the Hibs youth teams or anything like that that you look at and go, actually, we've got very little going on for the rest of the season. We could let them play a bit of football and try and get some first-team experience. No, actually, we're going to play a 300-year-old Adam Lafondra to make sure he gets minutes for some reason or other. Like,
Hibs have a really decent, it's not, I was about to say B-team there. Hearts have a B-team, Hibs have an academy team. But guys like Murray Johnson, Rudy Molotnikov, Josh O'Connor, even Gary's son, they've all had minutes this season. Blaney, McIntyre, like they've got players who, yeah, they're maybe not right to start every single game just now because they are too young, and that is a recipe for, especially at this time of year, getting booed an awful lot. But Hibs are
That principle though, like the team that goes out are going to get the team that they put out on Saturday, if they lose, are going to get fucking booed. All right.
Yeah.
And three quarters of them are not going to be there next season, ultimately. So however, if you go and start looking at, actually, we're going to try and look at what's next year, what we're looking at for next year. This year was shite. We're chucking it away. We're going to get minutes. We're going to give some people experience. And then we start at the very start of next season, then these guys who are saying, actually, it's an opportunity. Well, have they got something about them? Can we see a little bit of something with them as well? Like, it's just tragic, man.
There's also this, you know, this much heralded, oh, we're going to have a review of our operations, which basically, I say reading between the lines, it's just basically reading the lines. Right, so Nick Montgomery is getting sacked then. So why are you bothering giving him these five games? Get whoever, you know, whoever the academy manager is, or, you know, some backroom coach that isn't inextricably linked to Nick Montgomery, give him the five games, not because he's going to get the job, but on a Peter Leaven style, you know, get him in. He can, as you say, give a couple of academy boys some minutes. It then just allows the poison to drain ahead of the summer. And it then maybe means that the club can actually embark on a little bit of a lengthier, you know, trawl for who their next manager is going to be, because it's not going to be Nick Montgomery that's taken the team in the League Cup.
You just can't see it being him. And, you know, there's various different ways you could look at it. Maybe they don't want to sack him yet because of financial reasons. Maybe it's because of continuity. Maybe it's because they want to find the right man and they're treating him currently as an interim, whatever. As soon as that statement came out, you kind of knew the writing was on the wall for Montgomery. And yeah, you know, winning away at St Johnstone gave the fans that went to that game gave him a bit of happiness. Marcondes scored a worldie of a free kick and all this kind of stuff. But Hibs are very much just pedalling towards the end of the season now, and it'll be interesting to see how their June starts. A lot of the time you think about pre-season is July, end of June. I think the start of June is really, if Hibs want to have a sign of intent here, what are they going to do? Who are they going to appoint? Are they going to just go, you know, balls to the wall and back Montgomery and give him like a huge amount of money? That's still a possibility. That could still happen. They need to set their stall out and not, I'm not saying that they are hiding behind it just now, but not hide behind a statement that says we're going to do a full review. Just come out and say, right, we've reviewed it. This is what we're doing. And then I think it's the uncertainty just now around Hibs and who the manager is going to be and who's going to stay and who's going to go. That's probably killing it as much as the performances are, to be honest with you.
And it's such a tight turnaround as well. And, you know, find the other teams
so
that
tight.
Will already be having discussions with players, you know, identifying targets. And if you're a player looking at, say, Hibs and Aberdeen, and you know that Aberdeen, right, okay, Jimmy Thielen's coming in, you know, they're sort of pulling it together a bit. There's clearly a plan. They know sort of what they're going to do next season. Or do I go to that binfire, the current binfire in the SPFL? You're probably going to offer Aberdeen, all other things being equal. The other things being, it's Aberdeen.
And knowing that Aberdeen use the same scouting system as Hibs as well, they'll be absolutely cock-a-hoop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What I call the Dylan McGeer triangle. But we should also speak a little bit about Ross County, because obviously this game was huge for Ross County at the bottom of the table. I think we've all seen that Don Kyrie's side have looked the more up for it, and we will get St Johnstone, trust me, later on. Jordan White's late winner was absolutely massive, pulls them up into 10th, and you look at the table and you think that you can't see them slipping back to 11th, and that's partly on St Johnstone, but it's also partly on a county side that have now beaten the Hearts, Hibs and Rangers in close succession up in Dingwall.
I think that's their last three home games.
Yeah,
sure that's their last three home games. I'm delighted. Don Cowie seems like the nicest man on earth.
An absolutely mad accent.
Oh, aye. No,
every post-match presser, I'm just watching it, be like, it's a fence, mate.
Aye. Aye. No worries. Philippe came out and shook my hand. No, honestly, I love Don Cowie for what he did with Hearts. And I wish him nothing but success. And he seems to be finding a way to get results out of this squad of players at home. I think that they're still going to find it tough going away from I was going to say Victoria Park there. Yeah, sure. Away from Victoria Park, they're going to find it difficult. But all you really need is to win your home games, to be honest with you, and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. Simon Murray's had a phenomenal season. I think that we shouldn't look past the sheer numbers of Simon Murray's goals. That's him over 20 now for the season. It's ridiculous.
I really want, because it's one of those, you know when you say stuff on Terrace Podcast, fully in the knowledge that someone might actually just give you the answer? Like when I started talking about how I love like big cat stories, so all I get is people tweeting me big cat stories now. I want someone to send me Simon Murray's data. I want to know how many kilometres Simon Murray has travelled this season, because I think it's fucking massive. Because they'll have that data, because they all wear the sports bras. So presumably that data exists somewhere. I would like to know how many kilometres Simon Murray has travelled this season, because it's going to be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, he has ran himself into the ground for that team and scored goals. That's the huge difference, because you know what? Yep. Guys like, you know, Jan Danda and all that, they do an awful lot of running as well. The work rate on these boys throughout that midfield and throughout the sort of centre-forward position. But Simon Murray has found a way to force the ball into the back of the net, and sometimes it has been just through sheer fucking
running
willpower.
The ball into the back of the net.
Yeah. Sheer willpower. He's got the ball into the back of the net, and he's going to be the difference. I don't think there's any doubt that he's the player of the year for Ross County. You know, Harmon's been good, Danda's been good, all this kind of stuff. But Simon Murray, if County stay up, he's the reason why. Because he finds the big moments in big games. He did it against Hearts, he's now done it against Hibs, did it against Rangers. You know, it's huge moments that we will get on to St Johnstone, but they don't have a Simon Murray. They don't have a guy that's going to drag them by the scruff of their neck out of this relegation battle, whereas Ross County do. So no, fair play to them. They've been circling the drain for a few years now, County. But it looks like they're going to be safe again. And if they give the job to Don Cowie, then I hope he does really well, because he just seems like an absolute diamond of a guy.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One team who have completed their circle of the drain, though, is Livingston Football Club, who are waving goodbye to the Premiership after 6 years in the top tier, courtesy of Motherwell Football Club.
Bye. I'm actually gutted about this, because I think David Martindale's beaten Motherwell three times, or Livingston have beaten Motherwell three times in the entire time they've been on the top flight. That's been a good wee place for us to farm plenty of points. And the fact that Dundee are no longer a fucking joke makes me slightly... That's what I said, Dundee are no longer a fucking joke. Dundee have been consistently a fucking joke for quite a long time now. So between Dundee not being a joke and Livingston departing the league, Aberdeen potentially looking fairly competent. I actually think we may end up with 0 points next season, which is slightly concerning. That said, David Martindale once again was quite upset with VAR, which was presumably then followed by a complaint about having no money. I'm not massively sure he had anything to complain about. I genuinely, there's been a lot of handballs and a lot of penalties, whatever else. I thought what Devlin was doing was exactly a penalty. I think he's, from watching it, I think he thinks he's got the blind side of the referee, so he'll just make himself that wee bit bigger. And if I make myself just a wee bit bigger, the cross won't come in and it'll just go out for a corner, and then that's fine. Unfortunately, VAR exists as such. You can't really do that on the blind side of a referee. It almost felt like kind of muscle memory for a big centre half. So,
yeah,
whatever, okay. And anyway, it's all fucking irrelevant because Sam Nicholson exists. So this game could have finished 1-0 and everyone would have gone home quite happy because that... I know you highlighted the Tom Lawrence goal earlier, Rob, as the goal of the season. This is actually the goal of the season. It's fucking ridiculous of just... We pinged in past from Stephen O'Donnell, look up, and I'm just going to leather the ball in there. And it's interesting because I've understandably watched a lot of Motherwell this season, and we found ourselves in exactly that position with the ball at a player's feet there a lot of the time. And Spittle's been very good this season, but it's not something he does from that area of the park. Nobody else in the park is really capable of doing it. Nicholson just looking up and being like, I'm just going to hit it there, off the bar, the most aesthetically pleasing goal that you can do, and just fucking leathering it as hard as he can. Wonderful. Everyone could have blown the whistle there, everyone could have gone home and everyone would be quite fucking happy with that. A ridiculous finish.
I love Sammy Nick, and I have done since he first came through at Hearts, because he does things like that. He gets bums off seats. He doesn't do it hugely often, but you know that he's capable of doing it. One of my favourite ever Edinburgh Derby goals was him getting the ball in a not dissimilar part of the pitch, nutmegging Scott Robertson and then unleashing one with his left foot off the post and in the Championship season. He's a maverick footballer, and yeah, he's the most inconsistent winger you're probably ever likely to find, but he gives you at least one of those moments a season, at least one. Sometimes if you're lucky, you might get two. So he's that kind of player, and yeah, I'm delighted for him. Like, he was interviewed after the game on the pitch, and it was like, oh, you know, how did that feel? And he's like, well, I don't have... he's like, I've scored some like that in the past, but I don't have the same hips, knees or ankles as I did before, so I'm quite happy with that one. And he's a likeable guy. And, you know, Kettlewell was effusive in his praise afterwards of Nicholson. And from a personal point of view, I'm delighted to see that he's started the game for a start. I know he's not started a huge number, but also made a huge contribution in doing so. So, yeah, delighted with that. And it is an absolute... fucking raker of a goal.
Take a very quick minute to highlight, I'm actually quite pleased with Stuart Kettlewell and the job that he has done. Like, we are very comfortably safe for quite some time. There was a period in the season where he lost his fucking mind and started playing Conor Wilkinson in midfield, who very quickly hurled an interview saying, I've never played in central midfield, I didn't know what to do, which is not a great look ultimately. However, right, Kettlewell has binned a whole lot of guys that we were hopeless, couldn't he do, wouldn't do, has managed to chip them all out. He has brought in and recruited a bunch of guys like Georgie Gent, Jack Vale,
Man.
Halliday, who's been up and down, whatever else, has brought in Nicholson in there as well, has signed Moses as well, all with a view, presumably, of essentially giving them like an extended trial between now and the end of the season. Nicholson's in that weird MLS nether zone where he's free but not free because somebody owns his right. Like, don't understand it, fuck them. But we've essentially given a whole lot of players an extended trial with a view to the next season, presumably going, right, you and you, you'll no do, you will do, whatever else. And I think we can know who those are as well. Like, we brought in that kid from New Zealand who's actually from Dumfries as well to play right back. We've not seen any of him, but again, bits and pieces. So we have another massive overhaul to do in the summer. He's now sticking with Blaney as well. We've binned off Butcher. Like, we're just doing sensible things while also still winning games of football, which is entirely fine at this point in the season. So people are down on Kettlewell. I understand that. He still does infuriating things. There's still daft things within that as well. But even Vale getting himself suspended for kicking someone in the dick in Aberdeen and then taking that as an opportunity and using Nicholson the way that everyone has wanted to see Nicholson be used. And he stood up on Saturday. He was terrific throughout the game as well. He was Motherwell's possibly the best player outside of Miller, who again was sensational as well. I see today he's linked for the move. He will be fucking gone. He will not be a Motherwell player next season. But again, that fills a hole. Like, Motherwell are good. Like, I think if you take the half dozen spell where Kettlewell loses his mind out of the season and we turn some of that into slightly better results, I think we'd have got closer to top six than we ultimately did. I think we've been very good. I think next season will be absolutely fine. I'm confident in the players that we have. And Theo Bear is on 15 goals this season, which is a frankly terrifying and ridiculous stat, but makes him the third top scorer in the league, level with Bojan Majovski, which is fucking hilarious.
I'm looking forward to Hibs losing their minds and spending loads of money on Theo Bear, only for him to be terrible.
It's like,
after a bit of war with Aberdeen.
<What's that? laughs> I don't know what that's going to look like. Like, genuinely, like, he's been so, so good. I'm so, so proud of him. So, so pleased for him as much as anything else, because he's a guy that's just turned it around in a way that I don't think anyone fucking saw coming, understandably. But he's just having the time of his life, and you can see every time he's playing, he's doing well, he's confident, he's happy, and I love him to bits. Do I think he can score 15 again next season? No. Like, I still, until I see it, and I really hope I do it, and I really desperately hope he stays with us for next season as well, because he's been so much fun and he seems such a big part of the squad. But he is ultimately a guy who started the season as like Motherwell's fourth choice striker and has ended up the third top scorer in the league. Unfathomable. Absolutely doesn't make the slightest and tiniest lick of sense. But again, just joins the lengthy list of Motherwell centre forwards who have hit double figures over the course of a season, which. Robert, would you like to play a game, Robert?
Please.
Do you know when the last time Motherwell didn't have a player hitting double figures across the course of a season?
The last time they didn't?
The last time Motherwell did not have a player hit double figures over the course of a season?
2011-2012.
It was 1999. It was fucking Owen Coyle did not hit double figures. So this is, again, not just league games, but over the course of a season, every single season, Motherwell have had a centre forward since 1990, or a player since 1999 who have hit double figures. It's fucking ridiculous. It's getting a joke. It's great.
Fair fucking play. Fair play.
You're still bottom six though, mate, unlike us. Top six, Giants, Dundee, who fell apart at the weekend, losing 3-1 in a what for me was an absolutely miserable game against the Paisley outfit, who were the better side from literally the first second. I think they had about three corners in the opening 2 minutes and just basically it was awful. And I can go into the reasons. It was terrible.
From watching the game, it looked like you basically just got thrown about by Alex Gogic from the first moment until the last.
It was absolutely haunting. I can't get across how terrible it was. Obviously, Dundee had played a back four against Rangers and Celtic and looked fine, competent. Joe Shaughnessy is out until probably next year because he's done in his ACL. So at that point, you go, right, okay, do we keep going with the back four that was fine against both sides of the Old Firm? Or do we go to a back three and put Ricky Lammy in the middle of the back three? What do you think, guys? What are we going to do? They went to a back three and put Ricky Lammy in the middle. And he, Donnelly and Portales looked like they'd met each other on the way into the stadium. It was an absolute shit show from start to finish. And each of the goals was just totally avoidable and totally infuriating.
This is the second time Motherwell have signed a pre-contract, or Dundee have signed a pre-contract with Ricky Lammy from Motherwell. And both times have been like, I don't think you know what you're getting here. You are basically getting a player that you're basically, again, Ricky Lammy is in amongst a whole collection of all those Scottish footballers who I really like. He seems a really nice guy. He is good for a bit, but is ultimately too good for the Championship and not quite good enough to be a Premiership player. He just isn't quite there. He's not quite good enough or consistent enough to do it, which is what we found. Why we give him a new contract? I don't know. I actually kind of hope we give him another new contract just for a laugh to fuck off Dundee again for the second time.
You know
it would
what,
just
Graham?
Be fun. It'd be fun.
You know what, Graham? See you after Saturday. So do I. it was an absolute, just literally not a single player had pass marks. Bakayoko did what Bakayoko does once every three or four games, which is just nothing. I don't think he's scored at Dens since October, November. He's a big fan of the away days, not so much a fan of Dens, and it was just utterly deflating because now St Mirren are 5 points clear of Dundee basically need to win at either Tynecastle or Ibrox. Not going to happen, is it? And St Mirren are going to have to lose out from here, and it doesn't look like they're going to do that. St Mirren just absolutely had our number. They were aggressive from the get-go. Boyd Muntz and O'Hara ran the midfield as well, which was just totally non-existent for us. Yes, Graham, I did say we signed Bakayoko, you signed Theo Bear, but we're top six and you're bottom six, so something worked out clearly. But no, it was just a real red letter day for the Simmern fans, who really, really enjoyed themselves and had every right to, because just everything went right for them. And as you say, Gogic, who some Dundee United fans think they're siding, had a terrific day in the black and white of St Mirren. They're not going to get catch Kilmarnock. It would take too much for them to do that now. I think that's going to be their first trip into Europe since 1987, I think.
Sorry, Mike, the cat's just lost his mind and jumped on the window. Give me a second.
This is how we find out that Rob's cat's a Dundee fan, because I've just unlocked some trauma from the weekend. It's okay, Rob's cat. We might do better next season.
This is Rudy.
Hello, Rudy. That cat looks fucking terrified, Robert.
Yeah, man. He just jumped. Hello. Thank you, buddy. He just went and like shut the window by himself, but also got his claws cut in the window. So,
wow. That's a real reaction to me discussing St Mirren qualifying for
Look
Europe.
At him. Look at him. He's fine.
But yeah, basically it was my worst experience at Dens since we threw away 2-0 lead to Motherwell, which was just a few weeks ago. So maybe I've just got to still go into Dens, I don't know. But it probably shouldn't take away from the fact that Dundee have had a pretty good season back up. I think that had we not got rid of Bowyer, we would have kept roughly the same squad that we had last season, which would have left us struggling down below, basically with Livingston Johnson, because it was nowhere near good enough. And it'll just be interesting to see who it is that we actually bring in the summer. Rumour has it that we are in a race with Killie for Bruce Anderson. You would think that the attraction of Europe would probably be enough for him to go to Kilmarnock, but then we might be in a position to say, you'll actually get games for us, Bruce.
Two games in Europe are overpaid by Dundee.
Overpaid by Dundee.
Overpaid by Dundee. That's what you take.
Just one small aside before we move on to laughing at St Johnson. I've noticed a trend of any of you, I don't know why you would, but if any of you follow Antonio Portales on Instagram or on any of his socials, he seems to have started sending Dundee tops with his name on them to guys back in Mexico. And there's loads and loads of footage on his Instagram stories of these guys just unwrapping Dundee tops, which I can recognise have been sent by the Dundee Direct store, because it's that same sort of dark grey, overly sellotaped packaging. So I just like the thought of these.
Gary, we thought Nicholas Hamilton was the greatest Dundee Instagram boy of all time. Antonio Portales, bienvenido.
He could not lace Antonio Portales' boots. And he's also been doing these incredible, I mean, I don't speak Spanish, just like Ron Burgundy, but I'll get you in to translate it. But he's about to speak Spanish. He's been doing these like quite lengthy interviews on Mexican football shows, where he's spoken about, maybe I'll move on to a team that's going to be playing in the Europa League or the Champions League quite soon. Or that seems to be the translation. Maybe something's lost in translation, I don't know. But he didn't have a great game on Saturday, but he more than makes up for it in the social media output. So please go out there and follow Antonio Portales.
I cannot recommend following Antonio Portales enough. Dios mío, honestly. This guy is up to something. I don't know what it is, but I'm eager to find out. He wants to manufacture a move to Kilmarnock. I reckon that's going to be his next move. Like, that'll be it. The guy's class. Also, follow Nicholas Hamilton, former Dundee winger, at the same time. He still posts absolute gold. I don't know if he plays football anymore. He was that bad. I'm not sure he actually plays football. But
Is he still regularly DMing Dundonian women, do you think?
Nicholas Hamilton or Gary?
No. Nicholas Hamilton.
All right. Gary is, but I don't know about Nicholas.
His follows on Twitter, well, very interesting. Very interesting, basically. Yeah, just every Dundonian thirst trap going. It was good.
How often did Nicholas Hamilton play for Dundee? Twice?
He got, I think, 3 minutes in a League Cup game as a sub.
Fucking legend. I love this guy, honestly.
It's great because he does, you know how like you'll have footballers who will like pose next to like a gleaming sports car? He poses next to cars, but they're totally, you know, it's like a Vauxhall Sephira, you know,
he's wearing like Gucci trainers and posing next to a Nissan Qashqai, and you're like, right.
Very average life goals.
It's fucking great.
Speaking of average life goals, Dimitar Mitov cleaned up at the Player of the Year awards for St Johnson, because who else is going to? as we move on to our final section, fill in the blanks. And we're going to ask the following question. Next season, the number of Currents and Johnson players playing in Scotland's top tier will be blank.
So, I mean, I can go through their squad list just now and we can make up a number, or if you guys have just got a number in the top of your head, then we can do that as well. But
one, Mitov.
Yeah,
I don't know who's signing them.
So Mitov, certainly.
If Phillips wants to stay in Scotland, he can.
Yeah.
The rest of them, no.
Sven Sprangler any good?
I think you've answered your own question there.
Cool. Graham,
No.
Franchak?
No.
Yeah.
We can save you a lot of time, and we can save the listeners a lot of time here, Rob. It's just all no's. Obviously, this is following St Johnstone losing the most one-sided 1-0 of all time to Aberdeen Football Club, following what was apparently a very, very soft penalty tucked away by Bojan Miowski, who had about seven chances to tuck away other goals, but decided to wait for the inevitable penalty instead. And it leaves St Johnstone going down to 11th, and let's face it, probably going to be facing one of Rovers, Thistle and Airdrie Onions.
Listening to Craig Levein on the radio on the way back from Celtic Park on Saturday, he sounds defeated. Like, he does not sound like the Craig Levein of old, whereby, you know, you'd ask him a question and he'd give you a bullish answer. No, it was none of that. Like, usually, like, when you, I can do quite a, I do a very good impression of Craig Levein, right? And it goes something like this. You ask him a question and he goes, eh. And then he goes off and sort of like says what he's saying. He just makes like a sort of, eh. And then you know that he's going to go off on one. He didn't make that noise once. Didn't make that noise once during that interview with Tyrone Smith. And it just feels like he's done. And that is going to follow through to the players, who will also feel like they're done. I know it's an interesting one because Andy Kirk is doing all of the training for the team. Craig Levein's overseeing and basically putting his name above the manager's office. But it just seems like they're done, man. Like, it would be remarkable now if they didn't finish 11th, because if the manager is sounding like that, then the players are going to feel like that, and it just doesn't feel good at all.
They're absolutely fucked. They feel like they're basically just hoping that they can beat Livingston and then not lose against Ross County, and then that will somehow be enough to save them. Like, St Johnstone, I don't know, kind of have a slightly easier running ultimately, but again, like, the difference being that Ross County actually look like they might fucking score some goals and win some games of football. Like, Ross County and Motherwell next weekend is a harder tie than St Johnstone versus Livingston. Fine, then they play each other, and then on the final day Ross County go to Aberdeen and St Johnstone are home to Motherwell, who will not give a shit by that point. Like, I think they're done. I think they're finished. It looks like a squad. Like, and I know we're sort of talking about the squad and who'll be there next season, right? Everyone within that squad is good enough to get a contract somewhere else, which won't be dramatically worse off for them than St Johnstone. There are very few players in that team that you look at and go, you can play at a higher level, so you have an ambition to play well in order to get to a higher level. There's a whole ton of guys that are very clearly on the way down. Like, it's just absolutely minging. Like, when your centre forward doesn't have his own Wikipedia page because he's not played enough games, like, not a great position to find yourself in. Like, they have absolutely fucking nothing about them at all. And I think they're done. I think they will end up in the playoffs, and I think they will go down. And it's, you can make the argument that at this point, it's an opportunity for St Johnstone to reset. They'll have a new owner coming in. It's basically just been like death by a thousand cuts from them, because the previous manager, followed by McLean, followed by Levein, is just a bunch of people who are trying desperately to not spend any fucking money, as well as they're trying to sell the club. So it's just all these like little cuts everywhere else is just finish you off, and they just fundamentally, they do not have a good team. They don't have a manager who's going to dig them out of it. Their best, I know you're saying, Rob, that like Ross County have like Simon Murray who drag them through games to win them games. The only player that St Johnstone have that will do that is Mitov, who can't win them games. He can only stop them from losing games. They don't have anybody that can do that. As much as it's a bit of a gag to sort of giggle at Mitov clearing up at the awards, there was literally not, what was it, Carey won one supporters thing, and I think I was just then picking somebody else so that somebody else, it wasn't a complete clean sweep. There's nobody else within that squad that has comes even close to offering something for that, and it's a shame because there is a core of guys there that have won at least two trophies, some more than that as well. Guys who are very, very close to the club, guys who are St Johnstone fans, guys who clearly give a shit, but it's just not there. I think they're done. I think they'll go down. I think they'll end up in some nonsense tie against Raith Rovers, who'll come along and just fucking score a goal, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, and I think the big difference is when St Johnstone finished 11th before, there was a bit of fight about them. And it's terrible because you can't really quantify this, but, you know, obviously...
I reckon Callum Hendrick could start a fight in an empty phone box.
Yeah. Sean Rooney, and, you know, like, there were players there that were clearly, you know, good enough to play at a decent level in the Premiership or, you know, down south, whatever it might be. And they were coming up against the Inverness Cali side that were sort of out on their arse a bit and having sort of squeezed past Arbroath and being absolutely delighted about that. But yeah, there's just nothing. Certainly much more than Graham, probably on about par with Rob, given Hart's recent record as the relegation expert. On tonight's podcast, they just have the stench of so many Dundee teams that have gone down, which is just, you're looking and you're desperately a little bit like Homer Simpson watching the pig go over the horizon, just going, I've got Adama Sidibe, it's still good, it's fine. He scored an overhead kick. Did you not see that? And there's just not enough about them. And I can't see them finishing anywhere other than 11th. The thing is, if they come up against, you know, a championship side, whether it's Airdrie or Thistle, who have gone through a number of games in quick succession, then, you know, maybe they'll be able to shitfest their way to
it. They can't even shitfest their way through games on this. At some point or other, they're going to have to score a goal. And even if it's Airdrie United that they come up against, and like they keep the ball, pass the ball, move the ball around, it'll be like when Aki's played Hibs in the playoff final. Like, even if St Johnstone take the lead, Airdrie United won't change what they do. They'll just keep what they're doing. They'll keep changing. They'll keep moving the ball. And eventually they'll pick holes in that St Johnstone defence because it is too old and too slow. Ultimately, they do not have enough players that can be dynamic enough in defence in order to counter that. And that's probably the weakest team that they'll likely come up against from the Championship. I think they're fucked.
And we could cover Aberdeen, but I mean, you should have finished top six like Dundee did, lads, really.
No!
You chose not to. Miowski scored, great.
To put on equal footing with Theo Bale.
Unlucky, lads, unlucky. But I think that just about sums us up for this week. There's not long to go, people. I don't want to sound like that apprentice candidate Thomas Skinner doing one of his motivational videos on Twitter, bracketed by other things that he says on Twitter, but we've not got long to go. Let's just chew through to the end of the season, and then we can all just sit back and stress out over the Euros instead. So thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Gary.
And thank you, Rob.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. And thank you, dear listeners, and for what remains of me, enjoy your football if you can.
Well, I need to stop it. All right, enough. There we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.